Good morning. Today's daf in Chagiga Tes Zayin. We are in Tesvav Amud Beis. We are three lines from the bottom of the Amud. We're starting with the word Shal Nimus Hagardi, as Rabbi Meir. Yesterday, they dedicated to discussing Acher. Really, truth of the matter is, Dal Shenichnus LaPardes. So four entered into Pardes, and of the four, one fared well, and the other three, unfortunately, did not. Benazit Ben Zoma, Acher and Rabbi Kiva all went into Pardes as far as the consequences. So Ben Azai died. And Ben Zoma lost his mind. And Acher went off the derech. All on account of going into Pardes. What does that mean they went into Pardes? So as we quoted Rashi yesterday, they were Ola Rakia using shame. Ola Rakia could be understood literally, but more probably and certainly Tosus's position yesterday. And I and the Gaonim say like this as well. They went into a meditative state. In doing so, they were able to perceive and understand the Shekhinah at a much higher level. And as a result of that, so it's you gotta go in knowing what you're doing. Rabbi Kiva apparently did, and the other three apparently did not. Although, as the Gemara discussed yesterday in detail, most of yesterday focused on Acher and his turn to the other side. So, but the Gemara spent a lot of time, and especially in the Amud Beis of yesterday's Gemara, talking about the Torah of Acher. Rabbi Meir still learned the Torah of Acher, despite the fact that he went off the derech. And the Gemara wanted to know, is that okay? Is that acceptable? HaKadosh Baruch Hu was quoting Torah of Acher as well. Or more specifically, more accurately, he was quoting the Torah of Rabbi Meir, who learned it from Acher. And even that was somewhat of a question, whether or not he could do it or he could not do it. Either way, when all said and done, the Gemara spent all of its time talking about Acher and yesterday's daf. And the question becomes the following. How could he, this is a question of Rav Yehuda, who lived generations later, but it was a question that really bothered him. Right? He was Talib Ibra Dadasha. He got really depressed when thinking about this question. And that is, how could somebody be so knowledgeable and learn so much Torah, so how could he go off the derech? And it's not just Acher. It's Achitofel, it's Doeg. A number of people that went off the derech. I mean, I say a number of people, were three in total, but still, it's still, how could you be engaged in learning so much Torah, and meanwhile, you're going to go off the derech? So the answer the Gemara gives is that it wasn't overnight. There wasn't an immediate drop-off where they were operating at such a high level and they went down. No. In other words, it was corrosive, it was rust, it was there were things going on for some time. Tina Hayabalibam, that's the Gemara's language. And that means to say that they were harboring these doubts for some time. With all that stated, we are now picking up right where we left off yesterday. Shal Nimus.
Rabbi, we don't see you. Can you move over?
Yeah, sure. No problem. Okay, good. Yeah, Shal Nimus Agardi. So Nimus asked the following question for a mayor. Called Amar Denachas Liyar Salik. So you know what happens when you put wool into the pot in order to dye it. So of course, my answer is no. I don't know what happens, but the assumption, of course, is that you put in the pot in order to collect the dye, and so what's going to happen is that it's going to absorb. And basically, the question is as follows. It's a mushal, and the nimshal is basically the following. Look, you put wool in the pot, it's going to absorb. You stick somebody, put him in the base measure, she's learning Torah. Shouldn't the Torah absorb? Again, it's a reiteration of the question that we asked yesterday. So Amalei Kalmanda Havanaki Agavime Salik Kodolo Havanaki Agavime Lo Salik. And so the answer is basically it depends. If the wool's clean prior to going into the pot, so then it's going to do a great job collecting and absorbing the dye. If, on the other hand, it was dirty going into the pot, so then it's not going to be doing such a good job collecting the dye. I'm not even going to bother with the point. The nimshal should be pretty obvious. Salik Rabbi Akiva Allah b'shalom v'yard b'shalom v'Allah v'kasav omer. So now the Gemara is going to just spend a little bit of time together with Rabbi Akiva in that he fared successful. So the pasuk says regarding omer mishkani acharecha nirutzeh, he was familiar with the mishkan. He was knowledgeable. He knew what he was doing. And when Rabbi Akiva got to a certain level, a certain elevation, again, I'm not talking literally, I'm talking metaphorically, but metaphysically. But when he got to a certain elevation, so the Malach Hashem pushed him. It's okay. Leave the quote unquote old man alone. So it's right. He's allowed to quote unquote use my honor, meaning he's entitled to be in such a place. So my darish, the Gemara wants to know, how did Rabbi Kiva know about this makom hashchina, in which he was able to go into parties, but at the same time not make direct contact with the shechina? Rashi in yesterday's daf, and I'm not sure if I said it over yesterday, but it certainly is not too late. So the Rashi back, not really on yesterday's daf, going back to Yadalam and Beis. So upon the death of Ben Azai, so Rashi writes over there, Yaka Beinei Hashem Amav Salach Asidav. I'm going all the way back to the Rashi. Hukshum, he says, Olafanav Lefisha Meis Bachor. So Ben Azai died, unfortunately, at a young age. V'afa pikeni efshe shelo yamus mishum shenemar. Now, you can't see me and not be nifter, or and I'm guessing, by the way, not because I know, but I'm guessing that the other two, the one who went going off the derech and the one who went insane, so they had some sort of view, meaning not, maybe not a direct view, but some sort of view. Anyway, the Gemara's question over here, as Rashi understands it, is how did Rabbi Akiva know not to look? How did he have that wherewithal? So that's Rashi's pshat over here. So my darish, I'm a Rava Babachana, I'm a Rabbi Yochanan. So the Gemara is going to be quoting a number of psukim that all speak to this idea that he knew the sign. And so one pasuk the Gemara quotes Ve'asam Rivos Kodesh. So Osi Berivava Shalom. The word Ve'asa could be understood as Os, meaning he knew what the sign was. Rabbi Abba Amar Dagomir Rivava Dukma Hava Berivava Shalom. Another pasuk in Shira Shirim. Right, the you are Dougal, you are outstanding, Me Revava, more than 10,000. Okay, so the anyway, but he knew what the sign was. He knew what the oath was. Reish Lakish Amar Hashem Tzvakos Shmo Adon Hu B'Tzavah Shalom. So again, same basic idea that Rabbi Akiva knew exactly what to look for. He knew the sign. And Rabbi Chaya Abba Amar Rav Yochanan Lo Baruch Hashem VaAchar Aruch Rash Lo Barash Hashem VaAchar Rash Eish Lo Beish Hashem VaAchar Eish Kol Demama Dakavi Hine Hashem Over. So the pasuk in Melachim regarding Eliyahu is sent up to Shemayim, and the basic idea over here as well is that Rabbi Akiva was also knowledgeable exactly where to find HaKadosh Baruch Hu, described over there in the pasukim in Melachim. Okay, called the mama was the sign. So he knew what the siman was. Okay, in ways that I cannot articulate, Rabbi Akiva knew what the siman was. Tanu Rabbanan, the Gemara quotes a brisa. Six things that were related to Shadim. In three ways they are more spiritual in nature like the Malachim, and in three ways they're more physical like we are. So Shosha Kamalach Hashar Yeshlem Kanafayim. Kamalach Hashar, so they have wings, Vitasim Misofa Olam, Vat Sofo, and they travel from one end of the world to the other, Kamalach Hashar, Vyodim Ashaus Lios, Kamalach Hashar, and they also stand above time. They know what the future will hold like Malach Hashar do. So Yodin Sakadatcha, so the Gemara says Yodin, and the Gemara is like, the Gemara is bothered by this last suggestion that they know. What do you mean they know? They're Shaitim, they don't know. Now I say that like it's a Dover Pashit. But the Gemara is, I'm just explaining the Gemara's assumption. The Gemara is saying there's no way that the Shaitim have this kind of knowledge. So the Gemara says, Ela Shome Me'achorei Pardug Kamalach Hashar. So the Gemara says no. What they're doing is that they're listening in. In other words, they have access. So they themselves are not Yodin, they themselves don't know, but they have access in which they're hearing what's going on Me'achorei Apargud, much like we heard in yesterday's daf, right? When Rav Meir was begging him, please come back, and Acher said, no, Shamati Me'achorei Apargud, here's what I heard from behind the curtain. So over here in today's daf, similar idea. So the Shadim, together with the Malach Hasharis, they don't know the future, but what they do is they're Shomei Me'achorei Apargud. Shlosha kibnei Adam. Now that in those three ways the Shadim were like Malachim. In three ways the Shadim are going to be like people. Ochlim v'shosim kibnei Adam. They eat and drink like we do. Parim v'ravim kibnei Adam. They procreate like we do. Umesim kibnei Adam. They die like we do as well. Shisha dvarim nemru bibnei Adam. Six things can be said about humans. Shlosha kamalach hasher. Shlosha kibbehim. In three ways we're like Malachim. In three ways that we're like animals. Shlosha kamalach hasher. Yesh lahem das kamalach hasher. So we have das like the Malachim. We walk upright, and umasapim b'lashon hakodesh kamalach hasharis, and we speak lashon hakodesh just like the malachim do as well. Shosha kebehema ochlim v'shosin kebehema parm v'ravim kebehema motzim rei kebehema. And in terms of the physical components that we drink, we procreate, and we excrete like animals do. Okay, so it goes back, by the way, to another point that we made just yesterday, and that is the balance. Yesterday, 2 days ago, when we talked about Maisa Bereishis, and that's the balance of creation. In other words, that there is going to be a perfect balance of two opposing forces over here, physical and spiritual. And so we are balanced. We are properly balanced between the sides of us that are spiritual and the sides of us as physical as well.
Call us. It says kibbeni odom.
Mm-hmm.
So if by odom it says kibbeni.
Yeah.
For the same thing.
Yeah. Correct. Right. Nearly identical in terms of its actions. Call mistako.
It should be more for the shaden.
Yeah. Call mistako b'dal dvarim rasu lo shelo bala olam. Looking at four things, so the Gemara says the inquiry is about what is above, what's below, and what's behind. So that I understand, meaning it's not proper to investigate in those directions. Now again, by the way, we go back to the Mishnah. This takes us all the way back to the Mishnah, and this is talking about spaces. It's talking about time. So if you remember the Mishnah, so Rashi and Tosfos deliberate that very issue. But in other words, but for now, just to say over the Gemara, simply there are limits, and you're not allowed to go beyond the limits. But the Gemara says, but if we're talking about working backwards, going backwards, so the Gemara says, look, it's done already, meaning what is the offense? What's the problem with investigation about what happened in the past? Now, I'm explaining the Gemara over here that it's a function of time. It's an easier way to explain the Gemara. And so over here, I'm going to assume that what the Gemara is asking over here is that before my separation, look, it happened already. So what is the problem of investigating something that already happened? So Rav Yochum, Rav Lazar, Damri, Tavayim, Ashlam, Malach, Basav, Adam, Sharmalav, Adav, Banuli, Paltarin, Gedolem, Al, Hashba. So the Gemara says, I'll give you a mashal to help you understand. It's like a king asking, can you build me my palace, but build it on top of a pile of garbage. And Hachu, Banulo. So, and they did that. So, Ein Ritzon, Shalmalach, Lahazkir, Shame, Ashba. Now, every time you're going to remind the king, beautiful palace over here. Hey, remember what we did? We built it on top of the garbage. So the king's not going to want to hear that. Meaning it's true, but the king does just that. It's not respectful to bring that up to the king. And the same thing regarding the world as well. Meaning whatever was here before the world was here, before Maisa Bereishis. So in the Nimshel, that's garbage. I'm saying it through the Mashal. So, and now to go backwards and to remind and to make mention of, hey, you know, before Bereishis, before we had this beautiful world, do you know that what was there beforehand? So it's just simply not appropriate. Meaning it's true, but it's just simply not appropriate. Okay. Continuing in the Gemara, we're on Tet Zayin Amud Beis, and we are literally at the midway point of the Daf. Koshel Ochas al Kavod Kono Rasu Shalom Bala Olam. If you are not careful about Kavod Kono, the honor of your creator, so it's better that you were not brought into this world. So Maihi. So the Gemara says, what does it mean not taking care? Where are we disrespectful? In what way is this line of the Mishnah making reference to? So Maihi Rabbi Abba Amar Zeh Mastaka Bekeshes. One pshat of the Gemara, somebody looking at a rainbow. Rabbi Yosef Amar Zeh over Aver B'Seser. So, and another is somebody who does an Aver, but does so privately. Okay, so let's start off with the rainbow. So Masaka Bekesha Dichsiv. So over here, the Pasuk. And Kamara Kesha Sasher Yeh Banan B'Yam HaGeshem Kein Mare Hanoga Saviv Humari Dvos Kvod Hashem. Okay, so the Pasuk in Yecheskel. And it's interesting because now, right, we all know this Gemara, meaning, right, everyone's heard some version of this Gemara, right? Don't look at the rainbow, don't stare at the rainbow, don't point the rainbow out to others, and it's strange, meaning it sounds a little bit funny. Meaning, and not only that, but by the way, there's a bracha that we make when we see the rainbow. So obviously, there's something valuable to seeing the rainbow if, in fact, we're making a bracha. But in the context of the Gemara over here, and by the way, the bracha over here inserts a lot of girsa that I'm not going to go through right now. But I encourage you on your time to look at the bracha. But anyway, but the basic idea of the Gemara over here is that keshes. You know what keshes is? Keshes is to a certain degree, it is looking at the Shekhinah. Meaning, consider, the Gemara quoted the Pasuk from the end of the first parak of Yecheskel. So remember, in other words, this entire discussion is all platformed around not to engage in the practice of Maisa Merkava. right? Darshaning Maisa Merkava, right? Going into Pardes, etc., etc. And what is Maisa Merkava? It's the first paragraph of Yecheskel. But then going back to what we learned a couple of days ago, specifically, what is it? It's really fundamentally the last two psukim of the first paragraph of Sefer Yecheskel. And this is one of those two psukim. So in this context, to a degree in which I don't fully understand, but I understand now in its context. So this is part of Riyas Hashchina. Rav Yosef Amar Zeh Over Aver B'Seisa Ked Rav Yitzchak. And the, another pshat in our Mishnah that says that you're not worried about the covenant of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is when you do an Aver, and you do so privately, thinking that I'm private, it's going to be fine. No, nobody sees it, and you know what? HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't see it as well. When you do an Avera privately, so you are like pushing off the foot of a Kadosh Baruch Hu. So okay, it's a terrible thing to do an Avera B'Seser, because it's ki'ilu as if a Kadosh Baruch Hu doesn't see you, and meanwhile, of course, he sees you. So you need the Gemara says, now wait 1 second, what about a Gemara in Moed Katan? So over here, the Dapim almost line up perfectly. This is the Gemara Moed Katan that we did on Daf Yud Zayin. Here it's in Tet Zayin. Well, okay, but hopefully, right, it'll help us remember where to find these Gemaras. V'hamar Rebbala Zakein Imro Adam Shitzro Miskaber Alav. So let's say a person is really struggling with these Yetzahara. So Yelech L'Makam Shem Akernos Avayel B'Shcharim V'Yetate Shcharim. So what you do is you go to a place where no one recognizes you, and you put on black clothing. And then you do what you submit to your Yetzahara. And do not desecrate the name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu in public. So, okay, so now we're saying that one of the worst things to do is to do an Aver B'Seser. And meanwhile, under advisement, when a person is struggling with his Yetzahara to the point where he knows that he just needs to satisfy those urges. So the prescription over here is basically to do it, but to do so privately. So, right, we're confused now. Meaning private averas, recommended, not recommended. So the Gemara gives the answer, which is intuitive and probably the answer that everybody here would have said. Lokasha had the matzi kayfle liyitzre, had the matzi kayfle liyitzre. So the Gemara says, look, there's an ideal and then there's a bidyavid. The ideal, of course, is to subjugate your yetzara. That's the ideal. And right, I'll say it like the Rambam in Hilchos Tshuva, and everyone can subjugate his yetzara, meaning we all have bechira, so we're all there with the ability to choose, and so we are in a position where we could do so. So if you could do so, obviously that's the ideal, and then you don't have to go to a disclosed location wearing black clothes. You know, you don't have to go through all that. However, if you really feel that you cannot subjugate your yetzara, and you really feel that you just need to get to give into those temptations, and then don't be mechal shem shemayim. Darush Rabbi Yehuda Rabbi Nechemia Mitur Gamnei Dereish Lakish Kol Mastaka Begamal Dvarim In of Chaos. So the Gemara darshins in the Mitur Gamnei Dereish Lakish, and he darshins as follows: anyone who looks at three things, so your eyes are going to diminish. Bekeshes of a nasi v'kohanim. So if you look at a rainbow, if you look at a nasi, if you look at the kohanim, so bekeshes dechziv kamara keshes asher yeba nan biyamagashem humari demos kvod Hashem. So again, this already at this point in time we know. It's the end of the first paragraph of Yecheskel. It's the psukim for Maisa Merkava. It is a perception of Shechina. Number two, Abenasi Dichsiv and Achas Mehodecha Alav. So your glory goes on him, on the Nasi. And so fine. So in other words, so the Nasi also has a certain level of Shechina. And looking directly at it, it's too much. And your eyesight will be diminished. And finally, I'm a stalker of Kohanim, as much as the Mikdash Kaim, Shayu Omdim, Al Duchnam, Mavarchan Yisrael, Bishim, Mavarash. And when the Kohanim are Duchening, so, and specifically in the Beis HaMikdash, using Shema Mafarsh, using the actual Shema Hashem. So, under those circumstances, so if you're there and you're going to be gazing, so that's going to diminish your eyesight. Okay, nowadays, so, when we're there for Duchening, Sfarim every day, Ashkenazim on occasion. So when you're duchening, so everyone's instructed to not look at the hands and to look down, and that's the Gemara and Megillah. And we did the Gemara and Megillah not so long ago. And Rashi over there says that because what's the problem? So Rashi there in Megillah quotes our Gemara here in Chagiga. And Rashi says this because when you look, so what's going to happen is that your eyesight's going to diminish, as we learned over here. Tosos is really bothered by that pshat of Rashi because Tosos makes the point there in Megillah. Tosos makes the point here as well in Chagiga. And that is that our Gemara says that looking at the hands of the Kohanim is only going to be Ke'a'inav, it only will diminish eyesight in the Beis HaMikdash when they're using Shema Mefarash. That's when there's diminished eyesight. And Bezman Hazeh, when we're duchening outside the Beis HaMikdash, not using Shema Mefarash, that has nothing to do with diminished eyesight, says Tosfos. Rather, what? So Tosfos says the Pshat, he says in Megillah here as well, has a Chadas, meaning you have to concentrate. If the Kohanim are giving you a bracha, you got to concentrate on the bracha. And if you're looking at the Kohanim and they're discolored, disfigured, whatever the examples were the Gemara and Megillah gives, so then you're going to be distracted. That's all. It's just a function of distraction. That's Tosfos over there. Obviously, Rashi didn't think that way. Okay, and obviously there's a mitzvah to defend Rashi. But anyway, I'm just saying it over here really quickly. Darsha of Yehuda b'Rabbi Nechemya mitor gamnei d'Reish Lakish ma'idichzip. The pasuk in Micha. Al tamina b'ral tiftachu ba'aluf. Im yom lecha yitzarecha tov ha'kosh baruch hu mochel. Al tamin. As far as pshat in the pasuk in Micha, the Yitzhara comes over to you and says to you, hey, you know what? You'll sin. Akash Baruch Hu. So really gracious, very forgiving. Do not worry. He'll forgive you. So to that voice, don't listen. Al tamin bara ve'in ra ele Yitzhara shenemer ki Yitzhara lev ha'adam ra. So the ra over here in that pasuk in Micha is a reference to the Yitzhara. The Gemara quotes the pasuk in Bereishis to substantiate. Ein alof ela akash baruch hu shenemer alof nurei ata. And as far as the aluf is concerned, right, the general, if you will, that's a reference to Kadosh Baruch Hu. The pasuk Yirmiyahu proves that. And Shema Tamar ki me'id bi avnei. I'm sorry, me me'id bi. And you're going to say, look, if I do an avera b'seser, this seems to be going back to the topic of discussion of avera b'seser. And if you do an avera b'seser, so who's going to testify about me? Which again is a funny question because the Gemara is treating it as if you're going to Beis Din. And you need Edom, meaning HaKadosh Baruch Hu is omnipotent, and for our purposes right now, omniscient. That's a part that's significant to us. So why is there Edus that's necessary? Okay. I don't have a great answer to that question. But anyway, so the Shema Tamar, mi me'id bi, avnei beiso, v'koros beiso, shal adam, heim me'idim bo. So the stones of your house and the walls of your house are going to testify against you. Shenamar ki evan me'kir tizak, v'chapai me'eit ye'anena. The Gemara quotes a pasuk in Chavakuk that speaks to this idea that the walls and stones of your house are going to testify against you. And again, girsa issues over here. I'm just going to read it as we have in our Gemara. Your neshama is going to testify about you. So that which is inside of you is going to guard and protect you, and if necessary, testify about you. Otherwise, known as your neshama. Good. And Reb Zerga Amar Shnei Malachim Sharz Malachim Also Hain Me'idim Bo. So we're accompanied by Malachim at all times. They're going to testify about you. Shneimar Ki Malachav Yitzavarach L'Shmarcha B'Chol Derechecha. And finally, one more Pshat. Verv Shal Adam Me'idim Bo Shneimar Va'Atem Eidai No Mashem Ve'Ani Kel. Okay, so your limbs are going to testify about you. Again, we saw all this back in Moed Katan. Repetition over here about doing an Aver B'Seser. Okay, and we continue. We're into Zayin Amud Aleph, we're at the bottom of the Amud, and here we are now with a new Mishnah. The second Mishnah here in the second parak of the Masechta, and the history of Machlokas. Huh. Okay, this is a really interesting Mishnah, really important Mishnah, vis-a-vis, how is it that we have so much Machlokas in the Mishnayos, in the Gemara? So where is all that emanating from? When HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave the Torah to Moshe Rabbeinu, so did he not give a cohesive, unified, and clear presentation of halacha. And meanwhile, we are debating. Some of the debates are, most of the debates, okay, this is a really, really a general statement, but I'll say it. Most of the debates are very fine-tuned, meaning not basic issues, but sub-specific issues within every given topic. Meaning, it's important, by the way, I've said this before many times, when you see a machlokas, there has to be, I'm throwing out a number, not because it's a real number, but just to make the point. There are dozens and dozens of agreement points before you get to disagreement. In other words, right, there's so much debate in the Gemara. Yeah, before debating one particular topic, so they had to agree on numerous points before getting to the point of dispute. Okay, it just happens to be that what we're looking at right now is we're zooming in to the one fine detail point of dispute. But still, in other words, but the question begs, how is there a debate? So it's an important question. And so let's see the Mishnah. The Mishnah tells us that once upon a time there wasn't debate. There was no machlokas. And when did it start? So really by Cheney. By Cheney is really where you could put your pin and say, this is where debate started. And on top of that, we're going to be able to go even more specifically into the Tkufa of Bai Cheney and see when exactly the machlokas really exploded. There's some basic history over here. So there are five generations from the beginning of Bai Cheney until you get to Hillel and Shammai. Okay, the Zugos. You're familiar with the Zugos. We're going to be seeing it right here in our Mishnah. You also see in the beginning of Pirkei Avos as well. Right, open up a Pirkei Avos and you're going to be seeing the Zugos. And the Zugos follow immediately after Shimon HaTzadik, meaning the opening Nasi of Bayit Sheni was Shimon HaTzadik, and we discussed him in Yuma and other Masechtos as well, but in Yuma extensively. So he led the Jewish people in Bayit Sheni for the first 40 years of Bayit Sheni, and then after Shimon HaTzadik passed away, so then you had pairs of Talmidei Chachamim who were running the Jewish people. One was the Nasi, and the other one was the Av Beis Din. And so you had five pairs, so five successive generations of Zugos. And then the fifth of the Zugos were Hillel and Shammai. And then, I'll say it now, and that's where you had a real schism in terms of Machlokas and basically a two-party, sorry for using modern political terminology, but basically a two-party system where you had Beis Hillel and Beis Shammai. And it's at that point in time that Machlokas really proliferated and grew exponentially. Okay. I'll even go so far as to say is why. Hold that thought, because I'm going to come back to that in just a moment. Yossi ben Yoaz, I'm reading the Mishnah now. So here we are now at the point of the Zugos. We're after Shimon HaTzadik and Bai Sheni, and we're now starting at the Tkufa of the Zugos. So Yossi ben Yoaz, Amar Shalom Lismach, Yossi ben Yochanan, Amar Lismach. And they're debating one issue, and here's the important point. It's only one issue. And that is whether to do smicha on yantiv or not to do smicha on yantiv. Now, what is smicha? So when you're offering a carbon, your carbon, so what you got to do is you got to lean on the carbon, take your hands, put the weight of your body through your hands onto the head of the animal. That is the mitzvah of smicha. It is going to be a violation of yantiv in that one is not allowed to be mishtamish bebehema on yantiv. You can't ride an animal on yantiv. So putting your weight on the animal is tantamount to riding the animal. And as a consequence of that, so that will be an Isser Derabbanan. Ah, but you're bringing a carbon on Yantiv. And obviously we're talking about a carbon that you're required to bring on Yantiv. So should I be doing smicha or should I not be doing smicha on the carbon? Which will really then inform us as to whether or not you're bringing the carbon or you're not bringing the carbon. So we have a machlokas on this very issue. Meaning, in light of the Gzeira Derabbanan, so now, should we be offering the carbon on Yantiv or should we be waiting till after Yantiv to bring the carbon? And this is a machlokas. But the important point over here from our Mishnah is that this is the only machlokas that existed up until Hillel and Shammai. So Yossi ben Yoezer Amar, I'm starting again at the beginning of the Mishnah. Yossi ben Yoezer Omer Shelo Lismach, Yosef ben Yochanan Amar Lismach. That's Zug number one. Yoshua ben Prachi Amar Shelo Lismach, Nita Arbali Amar Lismach. That's Zug number two. Yehuda ben Tabai Amar Shelo Lismach, and Shemem Meshetach Amar Lismach. That was Zug number three. Shammai Amar Lismach, Haftayin Amar Shelo Lismach. That was Zug number four. Hillel Menachem Lo Nechluku. Hillel and Menachem did not debate this issue. Yatza Menachem Nechna Shammai. Menachem left. Where do you go? Hold that question. The Gemara is going to ask that question. So, and Shammai comes in. And Shammai Amar Shelo Lismach, Hillel Amar Lismach. Shammai says not to do smicha. Hillel says to do smicha. Okay, before Harishonim, let's finish the Mishnah. Harishonim Hayunisim Mishneim Lahem Avvezdin. The order of the way the Zugos are presented to us in the Mishnah is really specific in that the first of each of the pair is the Nasi, the second of each of the pair is the Avvezdin. Okay, in terms of job descriptions, Nasi is basically the leader, right? The king, I would say, but in other words, there was no Malchus and Bai Sheni. So what happened was there was still leadership, and there were the leader was not called the Melech, was called the Nasi, but basically that was a leader. In terms of the Av Beis Din is concerned, so Kishmo Kachu, the name itself gives it away. In other words, the head of the Beis Din. So and when we say Beis Din over here, we're talking about the Sanhedrin, the chief Beis Din, Beis Din. So the head of that Beis Din is the Av Beis Din. So in each of the pairs that were presented to us, the first is the Nasi, and the second is the Av Beis Din. Okay, Important Tosfos. I'm going to share it with you. Tazayin Amid Aleph. Tosfos writes. Previous Tosfos. Second to last Tosfos. Yosef ben Yoetzer. B'Yerushalmi Amar. So Tosfos over here is quoting a Gemara Yerushalmi. B'Yerushalmi Layu Machlokus Ela Ala Smicha Bavad. The only machlokus that existed was over smicha. I know I said it, but I got it from the Tosfos. So ve'amdu shama ve'hilah v'asu dalit, and then Shama and Hill comes along and they extended it to four machlokusim, but still extraordinarily limited. And then Mishirabu tamid shama ve'hilah shaloshim shukol tzarchan, rabu machlokus v'yisrael. The students of Hill and the students of Shammai. Explosion of machlokes came about, and over here Tosfos quoting the Yerushalmi writes, "Lo shimshu kol tzarchan rabba," and it's because, quite frankly, they didn't study well enough. They weren't that diligent in terms of listening to the Rebbeim of Hillel and Shammai. And so over here Tosfos quoting the Yerushalmi now is pinpointing exactly during Vayisheni do you have this proliferation of machlokes. It really comes not with Hillel and Shammai, but with Beis Hillel and Beis Shammai. So Venechuku, the Beis Kisos, and they really divided the Jewish people into two groups. Which, by the way, just as a general idea, it's another really important idea in today's daf. A general idea. So when you have machloksim, so what does the halacha follow? So yesh v'yesh, sometimes like this, sometimes like that. But when it comes to Beis Hillel and Beis Shammai, so with exception, there are a couple of exceptions. The beginning of the Gemara in Sukkah. Think Daf Gimel, okay? But you could check me out later. So there are a couple of exceptions, more than a couple, but with a little exception. So the Gemara is the Chazal stood firmly in the camp of Beis Hillel, not because right wrong. In other words, that's not the point. The point over here is that the Beis Hillel and Beis Shammai really represented a schism, a real division, and so therefore at that point in time, what needed to be done is we needed to basically go with one side. Otherwise, we'd be talking about a divided Jewish people. The Gemara in Yevamos, which we're going to get to shortly enough, and the Gemara in Erevin as well. So the los is go to do and not to create faction and have us have us segmented in two different groups. So, but by Beis Hillel and Beis Shammai, so really it really split into two, and that's why one of the reasons why Beis Hillel was, in other words, you have to pick a side, and Beis Hillel was favored for numerous reasons. The Gemara elsewhere goes on to say, but at least over here you understand. In other words, when we're seeing it from the lens of Machlokas, where Machlokas really just exploded at that point in time, so therefore a side needed to be taken just to create uniformity and standard practice. Okay. Let's start with the Gemara, Tanu Rabbanan. Shoshim Mizugos, Rishon Shamar Shalom Lismach, Vishnayim Mizugos, Achronim Shamar Lismach, Hayunisim, Vishnim Lahem Avos, Avos Basin, Divrei Rabbi Meir. So in terms of where everyone lines up in the Mishnah, both in terms of the position and the role, so Rav Meir says that of the first three of the pairings, the first of the three pairings, so they were of the position of not to do smicha, two of the second pairings to do smicha, so they were of the three were the Nassim and the two were the Abesin, that's Rameir. And v'chachamim amrim Yehuda ben Tabai Abesin v'shem v'meshetach nasi. And according to the chachamim, Yehuda ben Tabai was the Abesin and shem v'meshetach, in fact, was the nasi. Okay, so we do have a machlokis. Kind of ironic. We do have a machlokis in terms of who is the nasi and who is the Abesin for our third zug, our third pair. The mantan lahadatan rabban. The Gemara says, okay, let's consider now the following brisa. This brisa is going to be repeated again in Shas. We're going to hear this in Makos. And Amar Rav Yehuda ben Tabai, Eben Nechama, Im Lo Rakti, Eid Zomim Lo Tzim, Liban Shal Tzeduk, Mishai Yomim, In Eidim Zomim Neragim, Ach Yerag and Nidon. So Rav Yehuda ben Tabai says, I did good. Because the Tzedukim, so they were saying that, when do I kill an Eid Zomim? I only kill an Eid Zomim, only if their false testimony resulted in the death of the accused. Then and only then, according to the Tzedukim, do you kill the Eid Zomim. Now that's not our Masorah. Our Masorah is Kasher Zamam Velo Kasher Asa, meaning that we do not kill the Eid Zomim if their testimony actually resulted in the execution of the alleged, but only kasher zamam, only if you find that small window of opportunity after Beis Din gives their psak, before the accused now is sent to be executed, which, by the way, parenthetically, is not a large window of time. It's a small window of time. But only during that particular window of time, then and only then, is the aid zomim eligible to be killed. And Yehuda ben Tabai says, I did it correctly, and so therefore, it's good. I did good. So, Amar lo Shimon Meshetach. So Shimon Meshetach says, you made a terrible error. And that is, Erev ben Achamim, lo shavach to dam nakish, arei amru chachamim, ein eidim zomimim neragim, and you made a terrible mistake. Meaning, you're right, but you're wrong. You're right in terms of the window of opportunity, but you were wrong because you only caught one of them to be an Eid Zomim, and you only execute the Eidim Zomimim. I say execute, I'm talking about any form of punishment. Misa, Mamon, Malkus. You only execute the Eid Zomim only when both of them are proven to be Eidim Zomimim. That's the halacha. And so what you did is that, yes, you got the time correct, but you were wrong in that you only one of them was discovered to be an Eid Zomim. You killed that one, and that was incorrect. They only are going to be killed as a kat, only as a pair. So at that point in time, Yehuda ben Tabai, who made a really, really, he made a terrible error. So he said, from this point going forward, I will not be passing a single halacha if I'm not in the presence of Shimon Meshetach. And so for the rest of his life, so suffering from the anxiety and from the pain of erroneously putting somebody to death through execution, and it was and he wasn't right in terms of his conforming to the halacha. So he went over to the grave, and he was crying by the grave and screaming by the grave, and just right for a moment, just to think about the pain that he endured for the remainder of his life. And kisvurma ham lamar shekol shel harug hu. Now, when people saw it, people were seeing it from a distance, and they saw that the who was screaming. So they thought that the scream came from the grave. Okay, not whatever. That's what people thought. Let's just leave it at that. So amalam kolihu. So Shimon Meshetach had to, Yehuda ben Tabai had explained to everybody, no, it wasn't his voice. No, it was my voice. It was me screaming. So Teidu Shalamachu Meis Vein Kol Nishma. And look, in other words, eventually I'm going to die, and you're not going to hear the voice anymore. And so it was my voice. It wasn't his voice. And Amar Le Rav Acha Brei De Rava Le Rav Ashi V'Dilma Piyusa Paiseo B'Dina Tavei Minei. So and then the Gemara just after quoting the Brisa, it just makes one quick comment, and that is what. And it could have been the voice from the grave. In other words, it could have been the harug who was innocently killed. I say innocently, erroneously. It's a better way to say it. He was erroneously killed, and it could have been his voice. And then when Yehuda ben Tabai dies, the voice stops. Yeah, because Yehuda ben Tabai, after he dies, now is going to be meeting the victim. And either reconciliation or Maybe in Shemaim they'll be going to the Yeshiva Shomala, the base in Shomala, take him to court up above. In other words, it could be, the argument is not a convincing argument. It's just, the Gemara here is just making a, you know, it's being its defensive self. Meaning you're making an argument, but the argument is not necessarily true. It could be that it was the voice of the Harug, and still, even after the death of Yehuda ben Tabai, for a couple of reasons, he'll stop screaming. Okay, anyway. The reason why we brought this price over here is because we're trying to wrap our heads around. This is now the third of the Zugos. It's Yehuda ben Tabai and it's Shimon Meshetach. And who's the Av Beis Din and who's the Nasi? Well, in the story, isn't it clear? Iyamar Bishlam Rabbi Meir Damar Shimon Meshetach Av Beis Din Rabbi Yehuda ben Tabai Nasi. So now, if we have the roles of Yehuda ben Tabai being the Nasi and Shimon ben Shetach being the Av Beis Din, so then the story actually makes a lot of sense. Meaning Yehuda ben Tabai, who is the Nasi, is passing the halacha, he's a Nasi. So he doesn't have to confer and he doesn't have to. Now it happens to be that he made a mistake. And then he accepted upon himself after having made the mistake, okay, that's it. I'm only going to paskin in front of of Shimon Meshetach, who is the Abbeistin. Okay. The incident makes sense. Hainu de Kamari Allah Bifne Shimon Meshetach. Ela Iamart Rabban and Damar Yehuda ben Tabai Abbeistin Shimon Meshetach Nasi. So the Gemara says now, but let's take it that Yehuda ben Tabai was the Abbeistin. And Shimon Meshetach was in fact the Nasi. So Abbeistin Bifne Nasi Mimora Halacha. So now you're going to be having something really strange, and that is the Abbeistin is going to be passing in front of the Nasi. Now, granted, the Abbeistin is the head of the Beistin, but at the same time, however, the Nasi is the leader. He is the undisputed leader of the Jewish people. And it's just simply not appropriate. It's not proper kavod that one should be passing in front of somebody else. So, Mimara Halacha Lo. My Kiba Alav, Dekamer, Litzarufa, Dafi, Litzarufa, Namalam, and Starfina. So the Gemara says, no, it doesn't mean that he's going to be paskening in front of the Nasi. It just simply means that he will not be part of a Beis Din that's going to be paskening unless he first confirms together with Shema Meshetach. Okay, you could say that. You could say that as a pshat. Okay, we're going to do a little bit more this morning. We are at the two dots on Tazainam and Beis. Yasa Menachem and Nechna Shama. Lechen Yasa. Where did he go? Abaye Amar Yasa L'Tarbasra. So he went off the Derech. Okay. I know this has been a theme over here the last couple of days in the daf. Okay, we talked about Acher going off the derech, and so the at least according to one Amora, same thing is true with this Menachem who we know, or who I should say, who I know precious little about. Rav Amar Yasal Avodas HaMelech, and Rav says no. What he did is that he took a government position. So Tanya Mehachi Yasal Menachem Avodas HaMelech Yasal Yemo Shmonim Zugos Tamidim Levushim Sirikon. So they went and did some governmental work. The Gemara is really non-descriptive of what exactly they did, but they went to go work for the king. So over here, we're talking about Isuri Derabbanan. So do not be light with Isuri Derabbanan. There is a tendency, and it's not a modern phenomenon, that people are, generally speaking, lighter with Isuri Derabbanan. The Gemara over here cautions us not to have that mindset. Shari smicha inu ala mishum shvus. The smicha, as I explained back in the Mishnah, that's only an issur derabbanan on yantiv to go and lean on an animal. V'nechu kuba gadol ador. So the meanwhile the greats of five generations of greats are debating this very issue. Obviously significant. So the Gemara says pshita shvus mitzvah it's derechlei. So the Gemara says yeah, but over here. It's not just a shvus the mitzvah, meaning that we're talking about nisa derabbanan, but in the context of doing a mitzvah. Hanami pshita. The Gemara says, yeah, okay, but still it's obvious. Lafuki maman damer bismicha gufa pligi. So kamash malam bishvus hu de pligi. So the Gemara says, well, just to make sure that we do not think that they're arguing about whether or not smicha should be done at all. Meaning, no, smicha should be done. It's just a question of whether or not to violate the Issur Derabbanan of doing so on Yantav. There is an opinion in the Gemara in Beit Rashi here quotes it, that they're arguing about actual smicha itself. So there is another way to view the entire Mishnah. The Gemara says, I know, but I want you not to look at it that way. I want you to look at it that they're arguing about whether or not smicha should be done at all. Okay. We'll stop over here. Amar Rabbi Chama. We'll talk about how to do smicha b'kol kocho. The Gemara is insistent that that's the correct way to do so, but that we will pick up in tomorrow's daf. In the meantime, let's quickly recap. How could you be so absorbed and be so knowledgeable in Torah and go off the derech? Okay, that was a big question that we asked at the end of yesterday's daf, in the beginning of today's daf. And so the Gemara says it really depends on the level of purification that you had going into the combating of your Yetzer Hara. Okay. So if you're clean beforehand, in other words, like the mashal of the wool going into the pot, if you're clean beforehand, great. And if you're not, so then you are, you're going to be, the dye's not going to take well. Rabbi Akiva went in successfully, came out successfully. How so? So the Gemara says because he was knowledgeable about a certain simanim. And he didn't look directly at the Shekhinah. The Gemara quoted a number of psukim that give this idea that Rabbi Kiva knew what he was doing. In six ways, Shadim are described in today's daf, three like Malachim, three like humans. In six ways, humans are described in today's daf, three like Malachim, and three like animals. The Gemara talks about doing an Aver B'Seser. The Gemara today talks about looking at an Anan. So both of them are what could be what the Mishnah here is making reference to. And finally, In terms of the Amud Aleph of today's daf, if you are really, really struggling with your Yetzer Hara, the Gemara gives a proposal of what to do, but the Gemara itself acknowledges it's not the ideal. It is a bidyevet. The Mishnah on the bottom of Tezayin Amud Aleph goes through the five zugos of the Tkufa of Baishini. After Shimon HaTzadik dies, the leadership of the Jewish people were taken on by five zugos. The Mishnah tells us who they are. The Mishnah tells us their roles. One was a Nasi, the other one was Yav Beis Din. On the Amud Beis of today's daf, a question of Yehuda ben Tabai and Shimon ben Shetach. Who was the Nasi? Who was Yav Beis Din? Ironically, it's a Machlokas. And then finally, last thing that we discussed today, Menachem, who was the fifth of the Zugos, paired with Hillel. So he left. Where did he go? The Gemara gave a couple of opinions of where he went.